Let's go back in time and review Dave and Darren and their top five things. And here they are now. It's Dave and Darren. Hello, boys.
The stars of the show.
Yes, I'm Dave. He's Darren. And what we have in mind is to give you a review of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear every morning on Planet 93.9, the Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio.
The podcast is brought to you by the good people at Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan is open, well, actually, they're both open, 7 days a week now. And Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles. Recreational waiting lists are available. You just go to the website and reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
Let's get into it.
Number one.
Saturday night, seventh season of Brood will have its season premiere on WQAD.
News, I'm glad 8. You asked.
Our seventh season begins right after the 10 o'clock news. So 10:35 on Channel 8 is when the new season of Brood starts. Tonight on Channel 8, this is what I'm very excited about. We're finally getting live in front of a studio audience. It's coming back, and tonight they're doing reimagining, reimagining of two classic 70s, 80s sitcoms. We've told you about The Facts of Life. Different Strokes. They're also doing The Facts of Life, apparently. This is something I just learned. So you have Kevin Hart playing Arnold on Different Strokes. I think Damon Wayans is Willis, and John Lithgow is going to be Mr. Drummond. That's fantastic casting. Of course, the glue that holds all of these shows together is Edna Garrett.
Yes.
Because she was the housekeeper on Different Strokes and got her spinoff show, which became The Facts of Life. That aired on NBC from 1979 until 1988, one of the longest-running sitcoms of the 80s. Edna left the boys, the Drummonds, to go and run a girls' school, right? She taught the girls at Eastland School.
She taught them?
Well, she was like the house mother, right?
Yeah, she wasn't a teacher.
What was her job?
She was the house mother. Well, wasn't she?
Is that a full-time job?
Well,
what kind of money do
you make?
Private
school.
I guess. 9 seasons on TV and 3 made-for-TV movies. There was The Facts of Life Goes to Paris in 1982, The Facts of Life Down Under in 1987, and The Facts of Life Reunion in 2001. Facts of Life, a spinoff of Different Strokes, which is, again, also getting the star-studded reinvention. Now, the cast tonight for Facts of Life, who would you cast? Do you know who's playing any of the roles?
No.
Blair. Who would you cast as Blair?
Probably Blair.
See if Lisa Winchell will take the call. Now they got Jennifer Aniston.
Ah.
Jennifer Aniston will be Blair. The role of Joe Polnicek will be played by Catherine Hahn. You got Gabrielle Union as Tootie. And then Mrs. Garrett is going to be played...
Deborah Messing.
No. No, that wouldn't have been bad casting. But it's not going to be her. It's going to be, what's her name? From Fargo. Allison Tolman will be playing... Allison Tolman will be playing Natalie Green. Okay, that makes sense. Natalie Green, I'm going to stop you before you ask, is not a chicken wing eating champion.
Well, that's what it says on her Wikipedia page.
That's somebody having fun with Mindy Cohn. And it's not fun. That's just mean. Ann Dowd will be playing Edna Garrett in both, I imagine, The Facts of Life and Different Strokes. Now, will there be surprises on the show?
Twists
like there have
and
been
turns,
on other
you
specials,
mean?
Right? I don't know. Woody Harrelson, I thought, did a pretty decent job as Archie Bunker. Was Jamie Foxx, was he the Sherman Helmsley character on the Jeffersons? Was he Mr. Jefferson? Why can't I think of Mr. Jefferson's first name? Wheezy was the wife.
Wheezy was married to who? George.
George Jefferson, of course. George! And they did a spinoff of Good Times. They've done All in the Family. They've done the Jeffersons. So tonight, two shows that are tied to each other for eternity because one's a spinoff of the other. Different strokes.
Do you know where George Jefferson spent his honeymoon?
No, Darren. Where?
In Florida.
Florida is the mom on Good Times, you idiot. Your joke makes no sense.
I guess it doesn't. Where did
what are you saying? Are you saying when George and Wheezy got married, George stepped out?
Where did John Amos? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Norman Lear's going to be 100 years old.
That makes me feel old.
He's 99. He says, other than my family, there's no place I'd rather be in my 100th year than on a soundstage at Sony with these glorious actors reliving what our company had produced all those years ago. Norman Lear had a hand in Different Strokes? I guess so, huh?
Good Times.
We had Good Times. I understand the Jeffersons and All in the Family and Good Times, All in the Family.
Well,
and,
see, then you can see why I was mixed up.
No, here's what I'll tell you. You were so excited that we were talking about Good Times. You thought, I've got something for this.
I actually have a Rolodex. It's a cheat sheet.
It's like what the quarterbacks wear. He's got it on his wrist.
No, you know what it's like? Yeah, it's like the old prep we used to get where they would actually have a few punchlines for you to use. They were always horrible punchlines.
And most morning shows
used those. And a lot of morning shows went ahead and used them anyway.
Terrible. I got to say, Catherine Hahn as Joel Polnicek, that checks a lot of boxes for me.
Who's that?
Who's Joe Polnicek?
No.
Joanna Joe Polnicek?
No, I know who that is.
Originally played, of course, by Nancy McKean, who was always, of course, my favorite of the girls.
But
are you more of a Blair or a Joe?
Who's the actress?
Catherine Hahn. Oh, she's been in a million things. I don't think you've watched any of them, but believe me, she's everywhere.
Do I know this person?
Catherine Hahn? You if you get one look at her, you'll know her from a million different things that she's been in. I mean, she was on WandaVision, but you haven't watched a second of that.
No.
Yeah, she was
Agatha. Oh, okay, I know Agatha. Who she is. So she was in Step Brothers.
Yes, of course. So yeah, having her play Joe Polnicek,
that makes sense, yeah.
That's going to be something that I'm going to enjoy on a couple different levels tonight.
From Facts of Life, I probably liked Molly Ringwald from season one.
Interesting. Okay. So if you had to pick a Facts of Life girl, you would go with Molly Ringwald.
I don't know what
character.
Her character's name was.
Are you kidding me? Cindy.
Cindy?
Cindy Webster. Come on. Oh, no, wait. She was Molly. She was Molly Parker. Cindy Webster
like
was,
Molly
of course,
Ringwald.
Played by Julianne Haddock. I don't have to tell you, of course. They got rid of a bunch of the girls after one season.
After a few episodes.
Yeah.
Was
Jenny O'Hara played Emily, and she was kind of the star
Molly
of the show.
Was Molly Ringwald always on roller skates, or was that Tootie?
That's Tootie Ramsey.
Was
played so well by, of course, Kim Fields.
Okay, but she was the only one on roller skates? Or were there like some...
No, that was Tootie's gimmick.
Okay, so it wasn't like some of them were on roller skates.
No, and... She was only, I want to say she was only on roller skates for like the first season. Tootie isn't always on roller skates. I think they kind of, she would wear roller skates. And the reason for that is because she was so much shorter than the other cast members. So they would give her roller skates to kind of have
in later episodes, it was harder to keep her equilibrium.
Do you remember what her catchphrase was? Tootie had a catchphrase. All of the sitcom stars had catchphrases.
She had a catchphrase?
Uh-huh. Like Willis, Arnold, of course, his catchphrase was, what you talking about, Willis?
Uh-huh.
Right? And they had to give Tootie a catchphrase as well. And her catchphrase was, we are...
I don't think so!
I got a real red wagon! Tootie's catchphrase was, of course,
hey, what happened?
Yeah.
I can't do my work. I can't do my work.
That's what she used to say.
No.
Because there was too much noise with all the girls talking all the time. I can't do my work.
I got a real wet wagon. No, Tootie's catchphrase was, "We are in trouble."
I don't think that's right.
I promise you, you'll hear it tonight if they choose an episode.
And the
where
crowd
she
will just go crazy.
I'm going to go crazy.
What was Blair's catchphrase?
Oh, she was just difficult all the time. I don't know that Blair really had a catchphrase, did she? Here you go.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened? Uh-huh. As you know, back in 1970, I start on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened? We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon. And I can't do my work. And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, I don't think so. But it only lasted a year, and that's good because that's how you establish a cult. So I was on stage doing all my shtick, you know.
Yeah. You want to establish a cult.
That's the thing. You were only on a year, and that's good. Mm. Oh, I could watch Fred Willard do anything. Imagine
well,
he was
not
on,
anything.
Well, yeah, not I wouldn't want to go to a movie with him, that's for sure. You think he ever made an appearance on Different Strokes or
yes.
Facts of Life?
Yes.
He had to have at some
yes.
point, right?
Yes.
Like, did he run like a military school across from
yeah, that would fire upon the girls trying to take the beachhead. No, I can see him being on both shows.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he was though.
Really?
No. He was on The Golden Girls.
Sure.
And he was on Love Boat.
He was probably trying to date one of the Golden Girls, wasn't he?
What? I remember that episode when he was on the Golden Girls. He did go on a date with one of them. I'm trying to remember what the point was. I think his character might have had a secret, if I remember correctly.
He was trying to scare B. Arthur straight. Allegedly.
Hey, what happened?
Hey, what? I don't think so.
Number two. Joey Chestnut's back in the news. Joey Chestnut, the competitive eater.
And the last time we heard from him was when he was in the locker room mm-hmm. of a college football team, right?
Yes. They did.
Which college
kind of,
football team was that?
Oh, it's one of the smaller programs. Was it the Chanticleers?
That might be right.
Yeah. He was there doing an impromptu eating contest.
Against some of the players or captains.
Right. Chestnut recently broke his own record at the Nathan's hot dog event, right?
Mm-hmm.
He ate 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. When you actually think about what that means.
That's like eating a pig in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A live pig.
Uh-huh.
While it fights you.
In the last couple of
years. Dipping the pig in water.
He ate a 12-pound taco. He ate 1 pound of Wisconsin cheese curds in a minute. And now his latest achievement, add this to the list.
Uh-huh.
He just ate 17 pounds of cocktail shrimp. 17 pounds of cocktail shrimp.
Shrimp cocktail.
Yeah. This was at the St. Elmo Shrimp Cocktail Eating Championship. Major League Eating describes the event as a delicious meeting of peerless seafood and St. Elmo's signature spicy horseradish forward cocktail sauce.
That would be out eating an otter.
This is what I was going to ask. How much does like a walrus eat a shrimp in a day?
Not that quick.
St. Elmo is the St. Elmo Steakhouse, which is an old school eatery that offers their world famous shrimp cocktail with a signature cocktail sauce that, according to their own website, has brought tears to the eyes of even the heartiest of eaters.
So there's a lot of horseradish in it.
I'll give you something to cry about Welcome to St. Elmo's. This contest happened over the weekend on Saturday. Joey Chestnut ate 17 pounds of shrimp, all glazed in this spicy sauce.
Does he do anything other than competitive eating?
No. I mean, why would he?
He probably doesn't. Yeah, but how do you... But I guess, does he do a bunch of endorsements?
He gets paid a ton of money to go to these things.
Does he?
Oh, my God. If you had Joey Chestnut's money, you'd burn
yours. But what's the prize money for winning that?
For the big ones that go on? Like,
yeah.
For
even, like, say, Nathan's, what do you win?
I mean, his earnings so far, he makes, doing these events, he makes about $500,000 a year.
Okay.
$500,000 to go and eat shrimp for a weekend. He ate 17 pounds
of
shrimp.
Does he ever have to pay for any of that?
No, they pay him. No. You understand how this works? If you have Joey Chestnut at your restaurant for a competitive eating thing...
No, I understand they're paying for an appearance
promotion.
Fee. Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here talking about St. Elmo's Steakhouse, right? So it's working.
But like, I'm talking about the prize money for contests that you win.
So, like, you want to know what do you win for
what,
the
4th what do you win
July?
For the yeah? What do you that's you would think that would be the top one? Is that $100,000 for that? Is it more than that? Because all I see is the fact that he gets to eat all those hot dogs, 76 of them, and he gets some sort of plastic belt.
His 13th okay in 2019 he made $600,000, right? His 13 titles alone have earned him $130,000.
Okay, so that 10.
That was, and this is a number before he won this year.
So his appearance fees, uh-huh. He gets more money than actually winning an event.
Competitive eaters, there's the major league eating, where there's also like prize money at the end of the year. So if you win the men's division, that's another $20,000.
So like
you have all, each event,
you've won the FedEx Cup type thing.
Exactly. Exactly. The payout for Nathan's. Let's see. Joey Chestnut in 2021, just for winning Nathan's, mm-hmm. He got 10 grand.
Okay. So it's not
second place, 5 grand. Third place, 2,500. Fourth place, 1,500. Okay, so fifth place, $1,000.
Right, so he's making his money for the most part on appearance fees.
Well, he wins everything he goes to. I mean, he probably just makes his money on.
Yeah, but I bet if Nathan's is only awarding you $10,000,
yeah.
A lot of these things are probably only awarding you a grand or two.
He had a job 10 years ago, a full-time job in construction management.
Okay.
And he walked away from that in 2011 to just focus full-time on these eating competitions.
Why doesn't Alka-Seltzer have him as a pitch man?
Well, that's not bad. I don't know. Is that like performance-enhancing drugs? How would that work? I'm not sure. You would think you would see him do endorsements for other things.
Or X-Lax.
Maybe it's just that he's so comically overindulging that it would do damage to the brand, right? I mean, to have this guy
X-Lax? You're going to do damage to X-Lax?
I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about this guy eating 78 hot dogs and then eating a couple pounds of X-Lax.
Well, I don't know that you need to take a couple pounds.
He trains by fasting and
I think you would still take what is directed on the back of the box. You don't just...
You don't know. Does it say on the back of the box of hot dogs,
when
eat 78 of them?
Constipation relief, I would still go ahead and just follow the directions.
In October of this year, he won the World Pumpkin Pie Eating Championship in Jefferson, Ohio.
I thought you were just going to say pumpkins. They're just eating raw pumpkins.
Like Mr. Peepers. October 10th of this year, Joey Chestnut won the Destination Outlets World Pumpkin Pie Eating Championship in Jefferson, Ohio, consuming 16 pounds, 12 ounces of pumpkin pie in 8 minutes.
How many pumpkins do you think he could eat?
Do I think he could eat if it was just raw pumpkins?
Yeah, or a watermelon.
Well, keep in mind, a lot of pumpkin is just air in the middle, right?
That's true. Okay,
they're not solid pumpkins.
Okay, how many watermelons do you think he could eat?
Oh my gosh.
if you laid out three decent-sized watermelons in front of him, he could eat those in 10 minutes?
I'm looking here at all the world records that he holds. Like, in 10 minutes, how many grilled cheese sandwiches do you think he's done?
In 10 minutes?
Yeah, this is for the world record. They gave him 10 minutes to eat grilled cheese sandwiches. How many did he eat for the...
50.
Pretty good at this, Darren. It's 47.
Well, I figured a grilled cheese is got to be right in there with a hot dog. Maybe.
I guess that makes sense. He ate 55 glazed donuts in 8 minutes.
Yep.
You know those Hostess donuts? You know those little tiny chocolate donuts?
Donut holes?
Yeah.
The little chocolate donuts.
Yeah, the donuts they call them, right?
John Belushi brand.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Hostess makes those, right?
Yeah.
I think they come, to a package.
How many in 10 minutes?
In 6 minutes.
In 6 minutes.
At the World Hostess Donuts Eating Championship, how many did Joey Chestnut polish off in 6 minutes?
120.
The answer is 257. Whoa. 257. All right. 2020. He broke two world records.
I wonder if it ever happens like... You're the person who's responsible for putting down the food or the donuts in front of him.
Yeah.
As he starts, he's like, he's finished that plate. Now I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to reload his plate. If he accidentally ever grabs your like hand and starts eating your hand.
Yeah, I would wear gloves.
More than gloves.
Like a metal gauntlet.
Yeah. Right.
I would wear...
Like something firefighters wear.
Yeah, whatever's on the cover of the Judas Priest album. Put that on my hand. I'm not taking any chances.
Something that's studded.
Right? How many Big Macs did he
eat? It would be like getting caught in a chipper.
March 5th, 2020.
Yeah.
Big Macs. Now they gave...
Big Macs.
He had 38 minutes and 15 seconds.
Well, that's hard to say when you say throw 38 minutes at it.
I know. Was it... Eat until you can't eat anymore? That seems like a very random time. 38 minutes and 15 seconds. How many Big Macs do you think Joey Chestnut consumed?
50.
The answer is 32. Later that year, he would go to New Orleans for the Blue Runner Red Beans and Rice Major League Eating Contest.
Uh-oh.
Bowls of red beans and rice.
Okay, I'm thinking
about... Standard measurement for red beans and rice. So
okay, but I understand what like maybe a soup bowl full of it would be.
Uh-huh.
And how many minutes?
8 minutes.
8 minutes.
They gave him 8 minutes.
30 bowls.
The answer is 39 and a half. He ate 24 pounds and 11 ounces of red beans and rice in 8 minutes. Good God.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy that drove him there. You don't want to be responsible for taking him home.
No, I shouldn't think. He trains by fasting and stretching his stomach with milk, water, and protein supplements. Since he started his competitive eating career, Joey Chestnut's weight has varied from 225 to 240 pounds.
All right, well, that's not that drastic.
No.
But what he's doing to his body... I guess we wouldn't be shocked if he just dropped someday, huh?
I mean, yeah, I don't think you're designed to.
Because how old is he? What, like maybe like 45?
No, he's younger than that.
He's young. Is he 40?
He's 38.
Only 38.
Yeah, yeah. He's still got a couple years on the circuit.
Now, is there a senior division? There has to be.
I imagine there will
Once he's
old enough.
Champions division.
Yeah, I think they're not going to let him.
The champions tour.
This guy is a once in a generation talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he will move on to whatever the next goofy thing is.
And they tried to 86 Kobayashi, right?
Yeah, that's a whole. Is there a 30 for 30 on that? There ought to be. Because Kobayashi was a 6-time champion when Joey Chestnut beat him for the first time. That was huge when that happened. But then Kobayashi had a falling out with Major League Eating over contracts and endorsements, and it just became a whole Major League Eating kerfuffle. It says here, Chestnut in 2010, at the Pepto-Bismol Bratwurst Eating Championship.
There you go.
He ate 42 brats in 12 minutes. So Pepto-Bismol would be something good for him to be an endorser of. But it doesn't, I mean, I don't see it. Like, you don't see on his...
You don't see him in commercials.
Like, yeah, you don't see him endorsing food or even with, like, patches on his uniform, right?
Standard toilets.
It looks like he's got his own line of sauce that's available for the holidays. The Joey Chestnut Firecracker Mustard or the Joey Chestnut Boardwalk Coney Sauce.
Yeah, but he's not necessarily interested in taste. It's just to get it to go down, so it's like Joey Chestnut's Astroglide.
Yeah, you would think that's the problem with your brand is this isn't a guy that savors any flavor.
We're not talking about flavor.
Right. It's not like I ate these all because they were so delicious. He eats them because that's what's in front of him, and this is how he makes his living.
Yes, I'm Joey Chestnut for Vaseline Petroleum Jelly.
Oh, man. The list of world records that this guy holds. Tacos, 2017, at the Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. In 8 minutes, how many tacos you think he ate?
8 minutes. How many tacos?
8 minutes. This is a 3-inch tortilla. That helps you factor in things.
70.
The answer is 126.
I wonder how many mini tacos he could eat.
Taco Bell tacos, in 10 minutes, he ate 53.
Gotcha.
He once ate an entire turkey at the Foxwoods Turkey Eating Championship.
A live turkey.
In No.
Feathers, feathers and all.
Twinkies.
It's like when you pardon the turkey. You know how they pardon the turkey?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, okay, this turkey gets pardoned. This one's going to be eaten alive by Joey Chestnut. Kids, you might want to cover your eyes. It gets pretty gruesome.
Sounds like a wood chipper going off.
It's just like a big cat getting a hold of it.
One last one, because I'm fascinated by this. And I'm fascinated by the amount of food that he eats and also your ability to somehow come pretty close in your estimates. They gave him 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How many Twinkies do you think he could eat in 6 minutes?
100.
121. You'd go into a sugar coma, wouldn't
no,
you?
No, it wouldn't be good.
That's not...
What do you think you could eat the most of?
Oh, like... I find that when I eat blueberries...
You could eat a lot of blueberries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
blueberries
that,
are small, though.
Yeah.
So that's...
Maybe, I don't know, potato chips?
Potato chips.
But, like, I couldn't eat a pound of potato chips. Right? I don't know, like... I don't know how you would... I'm looking at snacks here. It doesn't look like there's a lot of snacks. These are all, like, actual things.
Entrees. More entrees.
In 8 minutes, how many hard-boiled eggs do you think he could consume?
8 minutes, hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, this is like a Cool Hand Luke thing here, right?
150.
The answer is 141. Wow. I mean, that's...
Boy.
It boggles the mind that... He was able to do this, that he continues to...
He a married guy?
He got engaged at a 4th of July
thing. I don't see trying to pick somebody up after you've just eaten 140 hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, I bet he's got groupies.
Yeah, he probably does.
I bet there's women clamoring at the side of the stage.
You really want to slow dance with a guy that just ate 140 hard-boiled eggs?
I wouldn't want to get in a car with him. That's for damn sure.
Well, I will, but it better be a convertible.
Number three.
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 Pilot thinks he's seen a fleet of UFOs after spotting weird lights out at sea. Managed to capture a couple of seconds of video footage. And in the clip, you see three rows of lights, some with four dots, some with three. At one point, the highest dot fades and is replaced by another lower down, and then eventually they all disappear from view. Pilot says he was flying over the Pacific Ocean when this happened, had no idea what these lights could be other than a fleet of unidentified flying objects flying in
a
formation.
A whole fleet?
Yeah.
It's Fleet Week.
He's freaking out in the video. I'd play the audio, but he drops some
bombs. Starts cursing.
Well, yeah, because he thinks he's seeing, you know. This was filmed at 39,000 feet. And people are saying this is some of the best UFO footage they've ever seen.
Jesus.
They're doing that thing now where they're looking back at the year and trying to decide like what the big stories of the year were.
Uh-huh.
And Captain Kirk going into space.
It tops the list.
It's topping a lot of the lists. Oh, death. Over there. Down there. It's life. Jesus. Weightlessness. Huh. The best is when they're on the ground and he's talking Bezos' ear off and Bezos is like looking for somebody to come and rescue him.
He shoots him in the face with the champagne bottle.
Some people think that it may be anti-missile flares shot out of a warship, but that's one explanation.
He's not buying it, though, huh?
No, that's in it. No. No. Meanwhile, there's a doorbell camera footage of what a guy thinks was a triangular UFO that was flying over a guy's house. Matt Doty was watching TV with his buddy Kevin when his phone pinged with a notification from his smart doorbell saying that someone was outside the front door. He then played the footage and was amazed when he watched this scene unfold of a UFO gliding through the sky with three bright lights beaming through the darkness. Called his dad, who's something of an aviation buff, who checked online flight tracker, and there was no plane traffic at all in the sky, leaving him to question, could this be a visitor from another land?
Bing bang!
A world beyond our own? Jesus.
Now, in how many different genres have you reached the level of buff?
Yeah. I don't know that I'm really
like a craft beer buff.
I'm an enthusiast, not a buff.
What about Star Wars buff?
Like, a buff is somebody who knows about stuff,
White
right?
Sox buff.
See, I'm a fan of the White Sox. I wouldn't say I'm a buff.
So you're not a buff of anything?
I don't know that I'm comfortable with that term, because buff to me implies a certain level of knowledge.
Expertise.
Yeah.
But yet, you say you're in the 85th percentile as far as Jeopardy.
My knowledge,
Jeopardy, Aaron, Jeopardy buff? Buff? Bing bong!
No, I would say that my knowledge is not deep, but it's wide.
Vast.
Bing bong!
Right. It's a mile long, but it's only like 3 inches deep. I don't laser focus on anything enough to be a buff.
You're more topsoil.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm... What would you say you're a buff of?
Nothing.
I mean, you like the Beatles, right? You're not a Beatles buff, though,
no.
Are you?
No.
Is buff just another way of saying a-hole?
It's buff, not biff.
It just seems like when you say that term, it's like, yeah, this guy's a real...
Well, because the thing is, typically people introduce themselves as a buff of something.
Yeah,
it's not said about them.
That's kind of a dead giveaway, right? If somebody says,
history buff.
Right, I'm a Western buff. Like, oh,
what do you mean Western buff? Western salad dressing? Western what? Western jeans?
So, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that term just because I feel like...
You're talking about a nudie suit? What are you talking about?
It's just like, I'm a Harry Potter buff myself. Like, if somebody were to say that to me, I would know...
Angie Sharp, I think she considers herself an office buff.
See, I think she would say fan, not buff. I think buff is a level... there's like a pretentiousness to saying buff. Like, I think Angie would say, she's a huge fan of The Office. And that she knows a lot about The Office. But buff is a designation that just makes me feel uncomfortable. Am I alone in this? I mean, I asked you if you're a buff of anything. You said nothing so quick. It was like an accusation. What are you a buff of, Darren? You go, nothing. No. I don't want that. I don't want that kind of...
Well, I don't think I have the expertise in anything.
In anything?
Nothing. I've avoided that.
Yeah. There's all kinds
culpability of reasons.
Buff has a lot of definitions. Something you first of all, buff means bare skin, right?
Yeah, in the buff.
Stripped to the buff. It's also a person who's very interested in a particular subject, an enthusiast.
I guess I'm a shower buff.
Interesting. So when you're in the buff, in the shower,
yeah,
you're a shower buff. Buff is also a brownish yellow color. It's a tool that is used to buff leather, right? To polish. You buff
it up, buff it up.
Buff, 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 buff it up. And buff is a substance used to dilute...
Put that Maserati away.
Buff is a substance used to delete street drugs in order to increase profits.
Something you cut drugs with?
Yeah, you cut it with buff, apparently.
That I don't know.
I had not heard that, too. Well, we've learned something here today.
And that was what? See, I'm not a buff.
Number four.
Four.
Four. Four.
We were talking about UFOs. What do you think about Sasquatch? Bigfoot. You buy that? Because now experts are saying that might be real too now. Incredible video appears to show Bigfoot being shared, and experts admitting now that he could be real. Or I guess she. I guess there would have to be two genders.
That's right, Mr. and Mrs. Bigfoot.
That's right. The Bigfeet family.
I guess they don't have to be married.
Well, I'd prefer it if they would, but call me old-fashioned, you know? This video
clip... Just because
clip,
they live in the woods doesn't mean they live in sin.
Well, they live in the Georgia woods. A huge ape-like creature can be seen lurking behind trees.
I thought that they were more of a Northwest thing. Is that not right?
This is clearly a guy in a monkey suit. What are we talking about here?
But the experts say...
Well, it just looks like a gorilla. But this... Oh, that's crazy. Well, that's something else. This footage has gone viral. And some experts agree that this could be, in fact, a genuine Bigfoot sighting. Video shared on Instagram by an account that regularly uploads clips of mysterious creatures. Mm-hmm. See, that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, right
if
off the
this is
bat.
Somebody who had never talked about Bigfoot in their life.
But if this is something you're looking for content all the time.
Yeah.
Then you have to be a little suspicious.
One viewer saying, best footage I've seen in a while. That thing is huge.
What kind of comment is that?
Seth Breedlove
is that doesn't add any credence to anything.
Seth Breedlove is a documentary maker. He's the man behind Small Town Monsters, a film production company. And he says the video might be a hoax, but there's room for doubt. Quote, the subject
no,
seems
there's
to be,
not.
The subject seems to be very large, but the movement possibly gives away the potential for some trickery. The subject seems to be looking down at the ground as it turns, indicating it might be a person in a suit who's having some difficulty judging the forest floor beneath them. It makes me think this is more likely a hoax.
You know what Bigfoot reminds me of?
Hmm.
The guy, what's the name of the show where he's dressed up as an old person at the food court and he doesn't want to do it anymore?
I think you should leave.
Yeah.
That's what I think Bigfoot is.
I don't want to do this anymore. What do you mean? What don't you want to do?
I don't want to be here. This guy whose latest documentary is called On the Trail of Bigfoot says here, quote, the thing does appear to be large enough, so maybe it's real.
What's it called?
These videos on the trail of Bigfoot.
Okay, well, that means he's looking for content.
Well, no, this is the guy who says he thinks it's a hoax.
Oh, okay.
Right?
And still looking for content.
And with the guy who did the documentary on the trail of Bigfoot is saying he thinks it could be a hoax. He says this thing does appear to be large enough, so maybe it's real. These videos always leave us with more questions than answers.
I think maybe that's what we should rename the Top 5 Things podcast.
What's that?
Looking for Bigfoot. And then like... At the very beginning, we say, we haven't found anything.
No, no.
And so we're going to move on to a different topic. Five of them, as a matter of fact. We are looking for Bigfoot.
It would increase our audience,
today,
for sure.
Today, our update with Bigfoot, nothing. And now, on with the top five things.
Okay, so this is what it would sound like. Welcome to Looking for Bigfoot with Dave and Darren. I'm Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Darren, do you have any updates on the Bigfoot search?
Yeah, we've got nothing. And now, number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
Number one.
I think you need to dress it up a little bit more than just go, yeah, we got nothing.
Well, Nothing from yesterday. Nothing's changed since yesterday.
Still haven't caught him.
No, caught him. We haven't even seen him. I didn't know we were going to catch him. We're going to try to catch him?
We're just looking for him. Legends of Bigfoot have gained momentum since 1958 when loggers found a giant footprint in Bluff Creek, California.
If we're going to catch him, then that changes everything. Then we're going to need to probably spend some money on some tactical gear.
I mean, there are people that are doing
otherwise, he'll maul us.
Yeah. Yeah, do you take him down with a trank gun?
I got to buy a trank gun?
I think you just...
Where are we getting this money?
I don't know. From our sponsors here at Finding Bigfoot, the podcast.
Well, there might be some sponsors that are interested in that. But maybe not all of them. Maybe some of them would just want to find Bigfoot. I didn't know we were going to catch him.
So it'd be enough to just go, there he is, that's him. And we're not going to like put him in a cage?
If we catch him, do we kill him?
I don't know. What all these people that want to find Bigfoot...
What are they going to do with him?
It's like the dog chasing the car, right? What are you going to do when you catch it?
Are they going to eat him?
No.
I mean, is that the idea is to kill it and grill it?
No. I mean, because Bigfoot's...
I don't really want to kill something if I'm not going to consume it.
Well, that's true. Earlier this year in Oklahoma, they had a bill in the state house for a Bigfoot hunting season.
There has to be someone out there who's mm-hmm. a Bigfoot enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. A buff?
Who plans on eating him or her.
So my plan is I'm going to find Bigfoot.
And that
and rather than try and learn from the creature.
No, I've got a freezer
uh-huh.
in the garage. I'm going to slaughter Bigfoot, and that'll probably get me through a couple winters.
You're enjoying those ribs, aren't you, Darren?
Bigfoot.
You like those ribs? You want to know what my secret is?
Bigfoot ribs.
Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm. You don't believe
Found
me?
Found him. Here's some pictures on my phone.
You don't believe
me? Here I am cutting off its head.
Uh-huh.
Remember that soup you enjoyed?
Yeah.
Guess where I got the ingredients. In fact, the soup bowl is his skull.
Mm-hmm. You like that tripe?
Oklahoma offering a $25,000 reward for capture of Bigfoot.
All right, so no one says they're going to eat him.
I've not heard that the plan is to find him, catch him, and harvest him for meat.
There's got to be someone, though.
That's their dream?
Well, that's their plan. I'm not just going to recklessly bring a living thing down for no reason.
Now I wonder if that's what's happening. Is there like a hidden cabal of people? The reason we don't ever see them is because people are catching them and eating them.
And they probably have like their own gardens
to
grow herbs that they're using.
We know what he likes.
That they're going to use to season the Bigfoot.
Oh, I thought they were growing herbs to trick him.
No, you've heard like a salsa garden, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Well, this is a Bigfoot garden. These things should go well with Bigfoot.
I'm looking at data here.
Green onions I'm growing.
This data is from last year. Would you guess there have been more Bigfoot sightings in Illinois or Iowa?
Iowa.
No, it's Illinois by a 3-to-1 margin.
More landmass.
I guess, yeah. And more crazy people looking for nonsense.
I don't know about that.
Would you guess there are more Bigfoot sightings in Iowa or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
The answer is Iowa.
Huh.
Like, I would assume Bigfoot lives in Minnesota before I would go anywhere else.
Go Gophers.
Yeah. Not a lot of sightings in Are there more sightings in Montana or Iowa? The answer is Iowa, but I guess maybe because there's nobody in Montana, right? Maybe that's what the secret is there.
I think Huey Lewis lives in Montana.
Does he?
Uh-huh.
Do you think he's seen Bigfoot? Bigfoots love forest areas.
If he has, I don't think he's sang about it.
They say if you want to find him, they love forest areas where there are snow-capped mountains and freshwater sources nearby.
Are we talking about Bigfoot or morel mushrooms?
Bigfoot morel mushrooms. The state with the most sightings is, what would you guess, the state that has had the most Bigfoot sightings?
Hawaii.
You know, Hawaii.
Welcome to Bigfoot's Luau.
Hawaii.
It's a tourist trap.
Appears to be the only state in our union that there's never been a Bigfoot sighting.
Well, then there you go. Then
which is crazy because they got snow-capped mountains and plenty of forests.
That's where you look first then.
Why would you go somewhere where he's never been sighted?
And then you like bury him luau style, roast him with like
apple in his mouth,
banana leaves over him.
Oh no. The state that's had the most Bigfoot sightings is Oregon.
Okay, Northwest.
No, wait, I'm sorry. Oregon, that's Washington. I'm sorry. I got my map confused.
Still Northwest.
Washington State.
Yeah, Northwest.
Plenty of sightings of him in Washington State.
Probably a lot in Canada. They probably call it something different there, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they have enough sense to not...
Or maybe they don't believe in...
Yeah, I would like to think our neighbors to the north don't have any.
They have their own Thanksgiving.
It's just a moose, probably, right?
Yeah.
If you were to see a Sasquatch, you would just go, "All right, well, that's probably just a moose." There are sightings
because Bigfoot doesn't have, to our knowledge,
uh-huh,
antlers, does he?
I don't know. Maybe. I guess Harrison Hot Springs in British Columbia is known as the Bigfoot capital of the world. So they're into this too up there.
Where is it?
In British Columbia.
British Columbia.
Yeah, Harrison Hot Springs is known as the Bigfoot capital of, the world. Because there have just been so many sightings.
So that's probably like everybody sells trinkets
there. Oh, yeah. You're right. It's a small town a couple hours north of Vancouver. It says here that the tourist information, you'll find a Sasquatch museum.
I caught Bigfoot and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Right.
I ate Bigfoot and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Could you eat Bigfoot?
Could Joey Chestnut eat Bigfoot in one sitting? I would say yes.
Not in one sitting.
In 38 minutes.
No.
I think he could.
No.
I think he could.
That would be something else. That, tell you what, I would watch that.
Now you've got a show.
That's a show.
We catch Bigfoot, harvest him,
uh-huh,
and then prepare him for Joey Chestnut to eat. All of it takes place within 1 hour.
You have an hour to consume Bigfoot. And go. Look at him.
Look at him. Look. Oh, he's starting with the legs.
Eating the toes first. Interesting strategy.
Huh.
Gonna fill up on those.
Five.
Number five.
There's a family in New York that just go nuts at Christmas. They had the previous Guinness World Record for number of Christmas lights on their property.
Mm-hmm.
The previous record was 601,736 Christmas lights. That was the record they set back in 2014, and they're saying this year the record is now 687,000 Christmas lights. This is not like in a park. This is just a family home.
That's a lot.
It's the Gay family in LaGrangeville, New York. Family first set the record for most lights on a residential property in 2012, and then they topped it in 2014. And now their latest version features, again, more than 687,000 lights. The dad is Tim Gay. He says going all out for Christmas is a tradition he got from his mom. He tells the Albany Times Union, quote, "I grew up in a family of 8 children, and she made the holidays magical for the whole family. From Thanksgiving to New Year's, it was like Grand Central Station in our house. It was very special to us." This light display serves as a fundraiser for local charities. They must have like a box where you can go and
mm-hmm,
donate. Yeah. Including the fire department's community fund there in this part of New York where they live. He says they're hoping to collect $500,000 with this year's show. I mean, look at this. This seems that's too many lights.
Yeah, that's leaving quite a footprint.
I would not enjoy being this guy's next door neighbor. This is This is a lot. And clearly they've got like everything all synced up to some sort of computer program.
Now, have you ever gone up to the one up in Clinton?
No. I should, though, huh? I've heard good things.
Yeah, I got a speeding ticket coming home from it one time.
Oh, no. I bet that really ruined your Christmas spirit.
Yeah, entering just it didn't help. Just leaving LeClaire, they nailed me.
Oh, well, I mean,
almost home.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah. Right where the speed limit changes.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, no.
Almost like they were waiting for you.
Almost as if they were waiting for me.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Uh-huh. Happy New Year to you.
In jail.
In jail.
Yeah, I wasn't in jail.
No, because they didn't. It wasn't
In jail.
They didn't go digging around too much, asking too many questions.
There's nothing to see here.
If you lived on a block where they had 687,000 lights,
my lights aren't working because of it.
You're right. You have to. I imagine there's like different generators you have to have. You just can't use that. You just can't use the outlets.
I can't watch anything.
Right. there's one.
There's no
picture that's gone viral. And it's from a couple years ago, and it kills me. Where it's one of these families that is just absolutely bonkers for Christmas with just hundreds of thousands of lights. And then the neighbor just wrote on his garage door, ditto. Like, yeah, what they're doing? Yeah, us too. I'm not going to put up any lights or anything. There are quite a few lights that you can go to, and then they have their own little radio station where everything's queued up to the music.
That's what they have up in Clinton.
There's one of those not far from where I live, and it's just a residential house. They got a sign in their front yard.
And they've got their own radio station?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a sign that says tune to this frequency.
I wonder if they're paying the licensing fee for that music.
Well, it's not for a commercial purpose.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I think they looked the other way for that.
Well,
someone shared, and I don't know where this was, but I think it was a local house, and somehow they've queued up their Christmas lights to Billie Eilish music.
Which, I thought you were going to say Billy Idol.
Well, that wouldn't be bad either. Billy Idol's got a new Christmas album out.
Flesh for Fantasy.
Can I tell you something? He's got a new Christmas album out, and honest to God, it's not bad.
Huh.
In terms of, like, if you had to listen to Christmas music, Billy Idol doing it's not the worst way to do it. I told you yesterday, I was watching a VH1 Classic or a MTV Classic where they show actual...
You were telling me that?
They show actual videos from the 80s.
Yeah.
Now
I remember.
Yeah. Come On, Eileen. I watched that. That's problematic, that video.
Mm.
Because basically the premise is they're all, you know, standing around in their overalls.
Yeah.
And the whole premise is he likes this girl, Eileen.
Uh-huh.
She wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
So he just keeps pestering her.
Stalking her.
And then she gives in at the end. And it's, I don't know, man. Watching it in 1983, 84, I thought, that's terrific. Watching it now, I think, that guy needs to, somebody needs to take him out and
buzz off.
Yeah. Hey, what's your problem, pal? Where's I going with this? Oh, and then we watched the video for Billy Idol Forgot to Be a Lover, where it's just him in a boxing ring singing with the dancers and whatnot. And I realized this, and I felt like a dummy because I said it out loud. But it took me until 2021 to figure it out. This whole Billy Idol thing, he's doing like an Elvis impression.
Kind of.
Like, that's the whole gimmick. He's like an unofficial Elvis impersonator.
For a different generation.
Right. Like, forgot to be a lover. Like, you could totally hear the king doing all of the Billy Idol shtick, right? Here you go. A little taste of Billy Idol.
Have happy holiday. Have happy holiday. Santa's on his way. Have a happy holiday.
Huh?
Oh, that music just makes me so mad. It makes my blood boil.
Really? How about this one? This one's more up your alley, I think.
I'm gonna fall off a motorcycle.
Come on, you can't hate this one.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
I made the mistake years ago of telling my kid that every time I hear Christmas Time Is Here from Charlie Brown Christmas, and I'm not kidding you, every single time, there's something about that song that just destroys me, and it makes me cry every single time.
Did he start laughing?
Oh, yeah, he thought it was the funniest
thing. So he's going to play it for you, and when you start crying, he's just going to start bawling laughing.
Yeah, that's what happens. They did it for his the Winter Singer, whatever. I want to say he was in third or fourth grade. And, little kids singing Christmas songs.
Christmas time, here again.
Every time.
Make you cry?
Little
Christmas
every winter cry that we, every winter sing that we went to, I would just sit there bawling. Because, I don't know, there's something about little kids singing Christmas songs that gets me every damn time.
And then it's like they're goblins.
No.
They sound like little goblins.
No, it's like they're tapped into the real. Like, it's like undiluted Christmas. It hasn't been ruined for them yet.
Yeah.
Like, so when these kids are little, when little kids sing Christmas songs, it destroys me every time.
Tiny demons.
No.
Inside.
This thing murders me every time. I'm going to start bawling.
What are they saying?
Christmas time is here.
I can't understand the words.
Happiness and cheer.
You know these people, these kids are like 80 years old now.
Well, I mean, maybe that's what gets me. I don't know. Maybe this song just reminds me that the time marches on. But yeah, that year and every year since, he'll chase me around the house singing it.
Oh, that's a Christmas tradition.
Well, I don't care for it.
That's nice.
I don't care for... That's what he's going to tell his kids? I used to chase Grandpa around the house and make him cry like a baby? That's what Christmas means to me.
I didn't use the word baby.
This family in New York.
Look at him.
The mom had such a magical Christmas. This guy feels the need to put 687,000 lights up in front of his house. My kid's going to be like, yeah, my dad sobbed like a beauty queen whenever the Vince Guaraldi trio was on.
Look at him over there.
I'll tell you what, man. It absolutely just slays me every time. I can't do it. I just can't. And it's not sadness, but it's not happiness. I don't know. It's like a weird in-between. It's a happy sadness. It's more happy than sad, but I'd be dishonest if I didn't say it was a little bit sad.
They kind of sound like bats.
Why do you think all children singing Christmas songs are just the Charlie Brown Christmas kids?
All of them, but particularly these. Like, what is...
I know the real meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown. We're all bats.
Like a school of bats, or whatever they... Whatever the plural for bats is.
The collective noun for bats?
Yeah. That's what the kids at the Christmas presentation sounds like to me.
It's a cloud of bats.
A cloud of bats!
Also colony.
A colony of bats.
Yeah.
That's what they sound like to me.
Uh-huh. It's a colony or a cloud of bats. Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown.
Clicking of their wings.
We'll be back to close up the shop right after this.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's it for Dave and Darren's top five things. Thanks for having us on and downloading the show and subscribing to it and leaving a review, all of that stuff. We should probably also thank Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely. They have two locations, Tech Drive in Mildland and West Main Street in Galesburg. You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location and order medicinal items online from the Milan location, both of those through Leafly. You'll find that at the website, and that's ntillinois.com.
Until our next thrilling episode, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot.
Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
That's it, man. Game over, man.